Okay.
What is wrong with your chair?
It's got a couple of busted wheels. So I put other wheels that don't fit it correctly on it. And I got really shaggy carpet down here in the basement, so it's hard to move around.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I'm just not screwing around over here. I'm working. God.
Ah.
Ugh.
Welcome to episode 30 of One More Podcastle, where Godzilla is only 18 inches tall. My name is Eric Bailey, I love snowball fights, and I'm the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter, I am the audio engineer, and I was on time today.
My name's Jason Lamb, resident Canadian editor, and I laugh at your lack of Twinkies.
Why?
It's very upsetting to us.
That's really mean, Jason.
Yeah. I'm opening that wound again, that your lack of Twinkies.
You're that secret jerk. Like, no one would think you're the mean guy among the three of us, but I bet you're really capable of some viciousness. I'm just going to throw that out there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, you are. You're conniving.
No. Maybe.
Conniving.
You're a schemer.
I am a schemer. I will admit that.
Yeah. It's got that shifty eye look all the time.
All the time. I mean, it's cool. I like it, but I just want our listeners to know Jason will straight up slit your throat in your sleep if he wants to.
Beware of the lamb.
You know what I will do, though? Give you Twinkies if you come to Canada.
Oh, gosh. All right.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Fuck. Deal.
I'm going to hold you to that.
When you apply for your passport, there's a line for that, right?
The Twinkie line?
Yeah, the Twinkie line. Jason Lamb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
great.
Yeah, you get the passport or you get a Twinkie.
And he just throws them at you. He doesn't even ask if you want one. Yeah. Just throws it at you without the packaging on it. So if it falls on the ground, you can't eat it.
Yeah. And
you can still eat it.
Well, I don't know. You don't use those nice, new, fresh spongy ones. You like to use those two-year-old brick hard ones.
Yeah, Twinkies.
They're all 2-year-old brick hard ones.
They've all been on the shelves for at least 2 years.
Mm.
Twinkers. Speaking of sugar snacks, you guys played any old video games lately?
Yeah.
Cool.
What'd you play?
I picked up a Sega CD at the Midwest Gaming Classic, and I finally got it to work after popping the bad boy open and cleaning everything.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it wouldn't power on, and then I cleaned the contacts of the ribbon cables, and now it powered on, but it wouldn't power on enough, or it didn't recognize that it was supposed to be on all the way.
Oh.
So the CDs wouldn't spin, so finally I figured that out, got that working. So I've been playing a ton of Sega CD games. I've been playing through Sewer Shark.
Yeah.
I've been playing Sonic CD. I've been playing, what's it called? It's like the Mansion of Hidden Souls or the Hidden Mansion of Souls.
Okay, not going to lie, I haven't heard of that one.
It's a weird, like, first-person, kind of like... Nuts. What's the game that Andrew said that he only played through 30 seconds of as a PC game? He said he got scared and he couldn't play it anymore.
Oh, Amnesia.
Amnesia, yeah. It's a lot like Amnesia. With the sweet full motion video 36x40 dimensional video screen. I've been playing a lot of Lethal Enforcers and Lethal Enforcers 2, The Gunfighters.
Awesome.
And Mad Dog McCree.
It seems you like games with dog in the title. I'm just going to throw that out there.
There's only been two.
That's a theme.
That's a theme.
I thought three was like a winning streak.
Has to be three for a trend? Okay. Then I take it back. Never mind.
All right. Well, okay. So, yeah, I've been playing a lot of Sega CD games.
Cool.
Super excited about that.
I'm happy that you got it to work.
Yeah, $75. Yeah, I was really upset when I popped it in the first time and it didn't automatically come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I realized it's about 20 years old still. It should work. And it does. So
nice.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So if anybody's got any recommendations, I am open to hear them.
All right, you heard it here. Sega CD suggestions. Let us know. And also, Hunter, you're a Sega guy, so I'm just curious as to your opinion, because I've heard this from a few people, but where would you place Sonic CD within the pantheon of Sonic games? Like, is it at the top, near the top, or overrated?
That's it. Those are only my three choices.
Oh, no. If you have more, feel free.
Well, I mean, Sonic CD is a great game. It's fun. It's intuitive. I think they really did a lot of really cool things with the 2D engine. But it's Sonic. It plays like every other Sonic game.
Okay.
You know, like Sonic 3 was pretty cool because of the multiplayer aspect to it. But I mean, Sonic 1 is, you know, that's the staple.
I don't know.
And I think every Sonic game for the Genesis is kind of basically just copied it. Yeah, it's neat to see Sonic CD or Sonic and Sonic CD when he's got like a ton of animations now and everything's really fluid and that kind of thing. But I mean, it's still Sonic. Okay. It doesn't play like, you know, anything else. It's still a Sonic game. I mean, I like Sonic and Knuckles. I always thought that was a fun game. Especially because it was so versatile with Sonic 2 and 3. You can pop that bad boy on. And I even fell for the April Fool's joke of playing Knuckles on Sonic 1 with a Game Genie code. Totally fell for that because I was like, oh man, I didn't know you could play as Sonic or as Knuckles in that one.
Well, I remember. And it was always fun to stack Sonic and Knuckles on top of the Game Genie and then put another game on top of Sonic and Knuckles.
Right.
Yeah, that was fun.
So, yeah, I posted a photo of that on my Twitter profile, which I thought was the battleship and it was working. So it was really, that's right when I got it to work. So.
Awesome.
No, I mean, it's a fun game, but I mean, you know, they're all the same.
Fair enough.
Oh, so.
I mean, in the original Sonic, you couldn't do the dash spin. So
the dash spin.
That thing where whatever you call it, when you press, you hold down and then you tap a button a whole bunch to charge up. Then you spin off.
Yeah, but the way that the levels were designed, you didn't need it. There were so many like spring-loaded platforms.
I just like doing it so much, I miss it in the first one.
Oh.
So maybe the first one's at the bottom, the rest of them are above it somewhere.
Well, it's, you know, when they brought out Sonic, it's like they brought out a perfect game and then they just started tweaking it.
There you go.
You know, yeah, they did it right where they didn't tweak it so much that it became a completely different game. Mm-hmm. You know, that didn't happen until Sonic Adventure on the Dreamcast where it was a completely different game. I mean, granted, it was in a 3D perspective, but like Sonic didn't handle right, and it was a little different. And
yeah.
So.
And we all saw how that went.
I like Sonic Adventure. I thought it was a fun game.
But is Sega still making consoles?
Sonic's fault. Actually, they did recently, didn't they? What was it called? The Fusion? The Genesis Fusion? Fusion.
Oh, is it that new like tiny Genesis thing they put out?
Yeah, it's got like 50 Genesis ROMs on it.
Yeah.
And they also made a laptop.
What? Well, touche.
So if you want to play that game.
Right. The console-themed laptops.
Yep.
Great. My Dreamcast laptop.
Hey, they're still making hardware, so.
Fair enough. I'll give you that one.
What was that?
Holy crap, they're expensive.
Yeah, and they're totally worth it. Did you see this? Yeah. The Sega? The Fire Core, that's what it's called.
The Fire Core.
Technically, I guess it wasn't made by Sega. So that doesn't count.
Yeah, I'll pretend I didn't hear you say that.
Oh, okay. That's weird.
Can I just buy a sticker? No.
What?
I'm not off this damn laptop thing.
Fine.
Can I just put a sticker on my laptop?
Sure.
You can if you want.
Good. That won't cost me $1,200.
That is a lot of money.
Or you could just buy the Sega laptop. I mean, it's...
All right.
I don't know.
That's fine. I'll do that.
Yeah. I think that makes more sense in the long run.
Yeah. All right. I've been playing some Transport Tycoon Deluxe.
Is that the free game?
What do you mean free? Nope.
Okay. Never mind.
It was made by the guy who did Roller Coaster Tycoon?
Yeah. What are you tycooning in this one?
You're basically making a transportation empire.
Wow.
Huh. All
you
right.
You have to ship people and cargo.
That's important.
Can you tax them?
You can raise prices on your transport.
Okay.
Do you enjoy doing that, Jason, or is it just not the same?
That's pretty good.
Okay.
I haven't gotten hugely into it, but it's free.
Oh, yeah, free, see?
In the glory of HTML5.
Oh, jeez.
It'll be on the website tomorrow.
Isn't everything.
You mean Friday? It'll be on the website Friday.
Yeah, Friday. So, in the past.
So, I was, I don't know what I was doing, but I found this. Somebody had posted how they play Roller Coaster Tycoon, and I was going to send it to you, but I forgot. So, apparently, what this kid does when he plays this game is anytime a rival amusement park goes up right next to him, he builds a roller coaster that shoots into his park, and then the cart goes into his park, and then everybody dies.
Yeah.
So their approval rating goes down, and his approval rating goes up. So he says it's funny to watch when you shoot a roller coaster full of 20 people into your rival's park, and they all die. And then everybody gets in line for your roller coaster. It's like everybody has
your rating goes up.
Yeah, it's like everybody has a death wish to ride this roller coaster.
You can just call it the death wish. That's perfect.
It's funny, I actually had a friend send that to me.
A death wish?
No, that thing you're just referencing.
Oh, so Jason's already seen it.
I know.
Cool.
I even saw it before it was sent to me.
Whoa!
I've got a feed set up. It's just Roller Coaster Tycoon news.
Google alerts.
Yeah.
That's
constantly.
Awesome. I find that very amusing.
Crazy.
What have you been playing?
I've actually been playing a few different things. I've been playing a lot of games lately.
Sega CD games?
Not Sega CD games.
Oh.
Pretty much sticking to my NES and Steam. Within the past couple days, I've been getting back into updating my blog, NintendoLegend.com, shameless plug. So I got...
What?
Yeah, right?
I've never heard of this.
I know, you should check it out. I'm reviewing every American released NES game.
Oh, wow, this is kind of like my blog, where I review indie games that correlate to console games. I am EricM.com.
That sounds like a great idea.
But, wow, you went screenshot crazy, man. Good.
I know, right? People like the screenshots. I'm going to keep doing them. It took me like 150 reviews to figure that out, but the past 120 have been pretty good. Anyway, what I've been playing specifically, yesterday, so that's Wednesday now when you hear this, back then, I reviewed Fantasy Zone, which, yes, the Sega Master System version is better, but even on the NES, it's a great game. It's a absurd little shooter. I think it's a great game. You may disagree. In fact, I went so far as to pick it for Review a Great Game Day 2013.
Nice.
Which is happening today, Monday, April 8th, even though we're recording on Thursday. But when this episode goes live, we're celebrating Review a Great Game Day. So, woohoo.
Nice.
I should probably get in on that.
Yeah, I've got an eye on that. Mine goes up tomorrow for it.
Sweet.
And by tomorrow, I mean Friday.
This is getting really
in the past.
Confusing. And the other one was Robo Demons, but that one really sucks, so barely worth mentioning.
Yeah, Robo Demons looks interesting.
That sounds amazing.
It's a colored
for
dreams
name
game.
Alone.
Yeah, I mean, oh, you should read the instruction booklet. How it talks about the demons have figured out how to put their souls into robots. So
that's very important.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's very important.
Why they would want or need to do that is beyond me, but it's visually interesting, but not good. And then
Robodemons.
Yeah, Robodemons. And then on Steam, I got a couple games from people. One of them I'm not going to mention because I don't want any spoilers. But the other one is Anodyne. That's A-N-O-D-Y-N-E, and it's a retro style, kind of like Legend of Zelda in terms of how you play. It's an overhead, one-screen-at-a-time adventure. But it's really mysterious and intriguing, and I've played about an hour of it. I'm still not sure what's going on. You use a broom as a weapon. I'm in my first dungeon. It's a lot of fun so far, but I have no idea what to say about it yet.
So nothing. You've got nothing.
I just named like three games, man.
No, I'm talking about the Anodyne.
Yeah, it's good, but it's tough to encapsulate in a brief comment right now. It gives you a lot of vagueness, like there's people saying things, you don't know what they mean. You meet a person and then you discover a card with that person's name and image on it. You're fighting these little glob monsters. There's a girl who crashes her bicycle in front of you and says things. And the whole world is cast in kind of a dark, overcast tone. And there may or may not be a prophecy that may or may not be relevant to you specifically. And
so is it fun?
It's definitely fun.
Okay.
It's just...
All right.
Here, I'll read a review from the Steam store page. It says, "It is hard to believe that two college students put a game together that rivals one of the best Zelda games out there in the 2D plane, but somehow they out-Miyamoto'd Miyamoto."
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's a lot like Zelda, mechanically, like how you play, how it works, but also it's very entrenched in its own plot line.
Nice.
It's almost like Zelda in a modern setting, I would say. Hmm. So, if you like Zelda games, like the old school two-dimensional overhead, definitely check it out.
I might
add that to my wish list.
All right, cool.
Sync.
Holy Toledo!
Speaking of wish lists, you guys want to tackle a listener email discussion question?
Sure.
All right.
I'm just happy we have one.
Yeah, it was.
I'm just happy to be here.
Well, good for you both. It was pretty nice when we didn't have any and we asked the listeners to send us some. We got like five different ones, so now we're good.
That's it? Five? That's it?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're not. I mean,
I disagree. I think we are.
If we did, more?
Maybe-ish. What?
All right, fine. We can send us lots more. Hunter,
send us stuff.
We don't want to ever ask you ever again.
That's right.
And we want the show to eventually just be nothing but quickly tackling listener email discussions 5 minutes at a time. We'll do like 10 of them per episode.
Like, oh, we got another question. This is getting ridiculous.
Jeez. Stupid Hunter asking for them all.
And I won't even be here.
What?
So what's the question?
Goes like this. Hey guys. First time, long time. I was wondering, what retro game tricks or hidden things you have memorized so well that you don't even realize you have it memorized? For instance, my wife was watching me play Super Mario Brothers, and on level 3-1, I hit the hidden block over the bridge for a 1-up. She asked how I knew it was there, and I had no answer. That secret block was just so hardwired into my brain that I couldn't describe it with anything other than, I just know. Love the show, TJ Lauerman, thatsportsgamer.com. He's also on Twitter at thatsportsgamer if you guys want to talk sports games with him. So, do you guys have an answer?
I got two.
Nice.
Red A6 and ABACABB. So, Red A6 is Mega Man 3. It's the code you put in to get 9 energy tanks at the beginning of the game. And
cheat codes,
right? Yeah, the cheat codes is all I can remember. And then ABACABB is the blood code for Mortal Kombat on the Sega Genesis.
Yeah, I knew that sounded familiar.
Yeah, like I don't. It's like I don't even think about it. I just put it in.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yep. Well,
that's all I got.
Cool, Jason. Did you imply that you have something memorized other than cheat codes?
I do. There's a I forget what level it is in Doom. But you start off when you exit the elevator. Instead of just going straight into the level, if you turn around, there's a shotgun hidden behind the elevator.
Nice.
So always grab that shotgun. I probably have a bunch of cheat codes memorized from when I was a kid.
Yeah, and there's the chainsaw in Doom 2, the first level.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's weird to think about that, because it's like, I can barely remember birthdays. But I, you know what I mean? Like,
but if you pop in Doom 2.
Yeah, but I can tell you exactly how to get 100% on level 1 in terms of all the secrets and what triggers you have to hit. And...
Nice. For me, probably the biggest one is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game on NES, has a code that gives you 9 lives and stage select. It's a modified version of the Konami code. So rather than the traditional Konami code, it's actually BA, BA, up, down, BA, left, right, BA, start. Or select start if you want to do 2 players. I had that one definitely memorized. And that was, I mean, when I was a kid, so it was before the internet, and I can't remember where I would have learned it. I don't know if, like, Nintendo Power Magazine, or found it in one of those books they would publish with all the cheat codes in them, with it. Games were alphabetized, or if a friend told me, I cannot remember, but I think that'll be with me to my grave.
I just remembered when we were at the Midwest Gaming Classic and we were playing Double Dragon 2. Mm-hmm. What level was the, was it the third level, I think, when you have to go up the ladder to trigger the helicopter?
Yep.
And then we both just automatically dropped down the ladder and moved to the right because we knew you couldn't get hit.
Oh, that was so fun playing with someone who understands how that game works.
It's weird, though. Because it's like, well, yeah, means. I know how to do this, but
yeah.
How do you know how to do this?
What do you know about Double Dragon 2?
Well, no, I think it's the same thing. Like, I don't think it was one of those things where it was listed in a magazine or something like mm-hmm. that. It was just, you just kind of figured it out.
Yeah, it's a great example. And just it's just instinct. You don't even think about it. You don't sit down to play it thinking, okay, when I get to that part, I need to climb the ladder, and the moment I get to the top, go back down. It's just muscle memory. You do it.
It's weird.
Yeah, the other one for me, which is a little more odd, is F0X on Nintendo 64. There is a code to unlock all the tracks and cars, rather than have to play through all the tracks and get all the top scores and everything, because we used to play it 4 players just for fun. And the weird thing is, I don't know it offhand. Like, if you were to ask me right now what the code is, I don't know.
What is it?
I don't know.
Ah,
but
that's no help.
But if you were to sit me down with the game at the title screen and put the Nintendo 64 controller in my hand, I am confident I would be able to put it in. Just because we used to always just put it in right away, real quick, so often that. I bet my muscle memory would still be there to trigger it. It's like with the C buttons and the L and R, and yeah, it's.
You think we could use these superpowers for good?
You'd think so. This portion of our brain dedicated to obscure video game facts. We've got to learn to partition that for something else eventually. Maybe, maybe not.
Teaching others.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks for writing in, TJ. Hope we satisfied you with our answer. Anyone else, feel free to email us podcast@onemorecastle.com and we'll field your question more than likely, and maybe even take a retro showdown theme suggestion. Perhaps. No guarantees, but you know what I can guarantee?
A music break.
Yeah.
Back. That was Super Vampire Whip Man by The Millipede. Some retro rock, especially for you Castlevania fans. And our longtime listeners know what time it is. It's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For those who don't know, this is the part of the show where each of us has secretly chosen a retro game. We'll have 1 minute to introduce it, then we're all going to argue about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite on a poll on the podcast page. Let's see, 2 episodes ago for episode 28. Guess who the winner was, guys?
Jason.
Nope, me. Ha! Demon Sword! Beat out Michael Jackson's Moonwalker and Silver Surfer. I feel like I haven't won in 3 months.
Oh, it hasn't. Has it been that long?
No, it hasn't been that long. It just feels like it.
I was going to say, because we had that tie once, so.
Yeah.
Nobody won that one.
That's right.
Demon
there's
Sword.
No winners. When just, hey,
worst control ever.
Not worst controls, and it's very fun, but we're going to have time to have this discussion all over again.
Terrible controls.
Because tonight, we have a theme, and that theme is Japan-only games. So each of us has chosen a retro game that was only released in Japan.
Yeah, it can't be released in Japan and on a PAL system. It's only Japan.
Correct.
Only Japan.
Only Japan. Japan exclusive. Japanese games, Japanese to the core, from cradle to grave, Japan.
All right. Good description.
That's clear enough. Jason, if you got a minute on the clock, I am as ready as I'm going to get.
All right, you may begin.
The game I chose was released in 1998 in Japan on the Nintendo 64. It's called Morita Shogi 64. It's a simulation of Japanese chess, but it has two noteworthy distinctions. Number one, it's a sequel to one of the three launch titles that the Japanese had for the Nintendo 64 when it first released. It had Super Mario 64, Pilot Wing 64, and Saikyo Habu Shogi, which itself was also a simulation of Japanese chess. Morita Shogi 64 is a sequel, but the original Morita Shogi was released in 1987 on the Famicom. And number two, on top of the cartridge, there is a modem slot to enable worldwide online play. Although, fair warning, if you try now, the servers are no longer supported.
Time up. How do you spell that?
Morita. Shogi 64.
All right. Hunter.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
You sound excited.
You may begin.
All right. My pick for this week's Left in Japan Showdown is Gekki Boy. Or Photo Boy for the PC Engine. In Photo Boy, you play as a student photographer readying for his final exam in school. His test is to take photos around town of the weirdest, most strangest occurrences. Some of these photos will be the DeLorean from the Back to the Future, Marilyn Monroe and her subway skirt flash, and a naked Liberty statue. The stranger the photos, the more points are awarded and the more film you get for taking photos. There are 8 different levels ranging from the ghetto to the underwater and the Egyptian...
15 seconds.
Oh, gecko boy. For the PC engine.
Oh, God. All right. I guess I'll begin. This 1998 RPG, set in a post-apocalyptic environment, was released on many systems, including the MSX, the PC Engine, and the Family Computer and DOS. However, I'm choosing the release on the FM Towns Marty for this week's Retro Showdown. In the game, you're introduced to a story that deals with all life after humans and animals has been wiped out. All the music in the game is considered to be representative of a famous Japanese composer of the 80s and 90s, and it's generally considered one of the best RPGs for the FM Towns Marty. That's Last Armageddon for the FM Towns Marty.
So did you just pick that game because it's on the FM Towns Marty?
Yep.
Wow.
I think it's well established that Jason derives a sense of thrill out of being the first one to introduce a particular console to the Retro Showdown.
Yep.
I love the FM Towns Marty.
Do you?
It had a CD-ROM and a floppy disk drive.
So does my computer.
And that's the thing. This thing's backwards compatible with the Towns Marty, which was a PC variant in Japan. It also led to the FM Towns Car Marty, which could be installed in automobiles.
The FM Towns Car Marty.
Wow. Yes. It had a optional GPS add-on that sold with a video monitor.
Good for you, Jason.
Who's going to do that? Who in their right mind would do that?
Some insanely rich Japanese person.
It's got to be.
So, Jason.
Yes.
Can you tell us anything else about your game other than it's a Japanese RPG with a post-apocalyptic setting? I feel like that might be one of the most well-represented genre generalizations I've ever heard in my life.
What would you like to know about it?
Well, what's the battle system like? Is it strictly turn-based, or...?
It's a random encounter. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you travel through in a kind of an open world. You have a group of 4 different monsters. So, you know, you'll have a kind of a troll guy, a skeleton guy, a dragon guy, etc.
That's interesting.
You travel along, you get in these random battles against monsters, and then it's turn-based, where you can choose different spells and attacks based on your monster type.
Okay.
Yeah. You actually have 2 sets of monsters, a daytime group and a nighttime group. So when it becomes nighttime in the game, the daytime group becomes inactive, and the nighttime group takes over.
So it's like Pokemon, with a lot less monsters to choose from, and you can only use the ones you like half the time.
It is like Pokemon if Gekibo Gekisha Boy is like Pokemon Snap.
Okay, but Geki Boy, which is what I'm going to shorten it to, it's more like Pokemon Snap without the Pokemon and encouraging you to take pictures of naked old ladies, which I find strange.
Well, my game came out in 1988, and Pokemon was released much later.
I thought you said 1998.
No, 1988.
I guess that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
I'm going to adjust my notes. You know, all my sensitive intel about your guys' games.
So you chose a chess game?
Japanese chess. It's different from the chess you're probably more familiar with.
Is that like Chinese checkers?
No. Idea. It's actually very similar to chess. There's even some pieces that are similar, like the knight moves in the same way, and your goal is still to have a checkmate on the opposing king. But the biggest difference, and what makes it magnitudes deeper than chess in terms of strategy, is that on your turn, instead of taking a move, you can put a captured piece on the board so it can get a little crazy.
I can't even find footage of this.
Put a captured piece on the board.
Yeah, so whenever you capture the opponent's pieces, you put them in a pile by the board, and during your turn, if you think you're in a safe position and you think it's more strategically advantageous to drop in one of those pieces, you can.
That's like cheating.
No. It's within the rules for the game.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, I got house rules too, but no, it's when not. I play Monopoly, you know, there's anytime you land on free parking, you get money.
Well, it's not house rules. That's how Shogi is played.
Yeah, I can write it down.
It was supposed to be launched on the 64DD.
Oh, that's sad.
Along with half the other Nintendo 64 games. That's not true. It's silly. But yes, Jason, it is very difficult to find information on, especially in video form. One reason is that, remember how I mentioned that it was a sequel to one of the Nintendo 64 launch games in Japan?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that game, Sekaiyo Habu Shogi, was very, mm-hmm. very unpopular. Even though there were only...
I wonder why.
Even though there were only three Nintendo 64 games available in Japan for a period of, I think it was months, only one out of every 100 people who bought a 64 bought Sekaiyo Habu Shogi.
Because it's a board game.
Right, yeah. It's not going to appeal to...
You finally won up Monopoly.
Well, yeah.
You could put it that way. I will defend the honor of board game video games. They are worthy pastimes.
No. This is essentially like spending $60 on Mahjong for an N64.
Okay, but can you play Mahjong online with someone else across the world?
No, and you can't with this game either.
Yeah, the servers are dead.
Well, right, but now you just get on the internet and play Mahjong if you want to.
Well, I guess the question is how soon did the servers die? Do we know that?
Yeah, because it's supposed to be a 64DD game, so it was, I'm assuming, supposed to use the 64DD's network.
So we can guess that it was, what, a year?
Yeah, dead on arrival, perhaps?
Hey, I think it's cool that it has a modem slot on top of it. That's a cool cartridge.
Oh, that's kind of cool. It would have made it more expensive, though.
That's a good point.
Yeah, maybe.
No, that's a good point.
Okay, yeah.
Well, how much was Jason's terrible pick of Tetris 64 with the crappy heart monitor thing on it?
You know what's funny? It's the exact same developer.
Is it really?
Set up.
Oh, sorry, same publisher.
So they were just pumping out crap, hoping something would stick.
Yeah, they were just like, oh, we can shoehorn something into this.
Sock piano.
Sock piano it in.
Sock piano that in there.
Wow.
That was their strategy, was provocative peripherals. If we make something really strange that people can do with their games, they'll raise a curious eyebrow and look twice and consider buying our game. Ultimately, it didn't work out, though.
Oh. Yeah. I agree.
Yep. We do not play games with heart monitors. It's not popular today.
Nope. And neither is playing games online, Bailey.
Yeah, I might have to disagree with you there. I think that's pretty popular.
No, it's not.
Okay, fair enough.
It's a dead technology.
Was it the artist formerly known as Prince who said the internet is dead? It's a fad.
I don't know.
Very silly thing to say, but funny, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Kevin Smith is coined for saying that DVDs wouldn't last, and he was going to put his movies on Laserdisc.
Ugh.
Yeah, so.
Well, to that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, picking a board game.
Yeah, it's a board game.
It's a board game video game.
At least Jason's is a crappy Final Fantasy.
Whoa.
The worst battle mechanics I've ever seen.
I mean, it is the nighttime-daytime thing. It'd be one thing if your four characters had different characteristics at different times, but... to have half your team just completely unavailable, and I mean, it sounds like
not half your team. You get four different characters.
Right, out of a team of eight.
No, they're two separate teams.
What? That's your whole team, is the two separate teams.
You get to control them both, though, right?
Yeah, Jason.
At different times.
but they're still under your command. Answer my question, Jason.
They are.
So they're on your team, yeah? They're not on the opposition.
No, yeah.
And they're not being controlled by somebody else.
Nope.
It's not like the game has a modem on it and someone in China is controlling my characters, right?
That's true.
It's not like you're taking pictures of a nude flasher, right? Who appears in every level.
Yeah, ooh. What the hell?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, in the first level, he's just right there in front of you. You take a picture, you get 500 points. And the next level, he's in a trash can.
Ooh.
And then there's another level where you're playing underwater, and he is in an oyster. You got to wait for it to pop open to take his picture.
Why did you bring what version did you bring?
The PC Engine.
You should have brought the PlayStation version.
The sequel?
Yeah. No, no, they remade it for the PlayStation.
Oh, well, no. Why would I do that?
It had multiplayer.
So?
That's awesome.
I just like how Hunter himself, talking about his own game, is like, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it is.
This game's just weird.
It's got so many Western influences, though. I mean, the Back to the Future, there's an E.T. scene.
Definitely from a pop culture standpoint, yes.
Absolutely. You know, Madonna's in it, Michael Jackson, Spider-Man. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, I've actually heard...
I think it's a game that everybody who's listening can relate to and would want to play. Not a board game or a crappy Final Fantasy clone.
What do you guys have against board games? I think board games are fun.
Because we're a video game podcast.
And that's why I picked a video game. You can't tell me that Marita Shogi 64 is not a video game.
No, it's a board game.
No, it's a video game. It's a board game. It is, you don't...
What came first?
It doesn't matter. You guys are wrong. It's not a board game.
I'm just asking a simple question. What came first?
Yeah, what came first?
The chess, the board game, came first.
It's a board game.
Doesn't make any sense.
Makes perfect sense.
No, it doesn't.
Makes perfect sense.
That's like Taxi Driver the movie. I mean, Taxi Drivers existed before the movie. That doesn't mean the movie Taxi Driver is a taxi driver.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Oh, thanks, yeah.
Well, let's pick something else, because I can't even wrap my head around that one.
Okay, it's like saying that chess existed before a chess video game. That doesn't mean the video game is a board game, though.
It's a video game of a board game.
Right, yeah, totally.
That doesn't make it twice a game, though.
Yeah, it doesn't make it a good video game.
I'm not saying it's two games. I'm just saying it's definitely
it's
not.
It's like making Kick the Can the video game.
Right, what's wrong with that?
I would play that. Yeah. I mean, or hide and seek. I would play a hide and seek video game.
Picture that on the Kinect.
Yeah. Please move tables and chairs away from kicking area.
Give yourself 20 square yards to maneuver around and kick. How do you play Kick the Can? Does anyone actually know? This is true retro gaming right here.
You just kick a can.
There's no rules or anything? You just kick the can?
I'm sure there... I think the rules are kind of like soccer rules.
Really?
Where you have to kick it between two uprights or something like that. Like a goal. You have to kick it in a goal.
What? Really? It's that complex?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, is that really that complex? I don't think that's that complex.
Well, I guess I had in my mind, it was just a game that kids would play in the street when they were poor back in the day, and there was nothing else in the world but dirt and cans.
Oh, yeah, there was that.
But there was no...
I don't know. My uncle used to talk about playing it all the time. Kick the Can, that's good.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, ask your uncle for me. I'd love to know what his thoughts on Kick the Can are. From a legitimate retro gamer like your uncle.
Yeah. Wow.
Truly old school gaming right there.
So analog. Jason, I got a question about your game.
All right.
Why does time fly? like a tenth of a second in my time is like an hour in your game.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm watching a video, obviously, because I've never played this. I don't have... Sadly, I do not have an FM Towns Marty. Kind of wish I did.
Tragic.
I mean, I thought picking up a Sega CD was pretty hardcore, but apparently I need an FM Towns Marty.
You know what's funny? The game actually almost came out for the Sega CD. as an English translation.
Why is that funny?
But then the Sega CD just kind of crapped it out.
Well, luckily, Sega was smart enough to not worry about it. But anyway, so this video that I'm watching, after these black background turn-based games, I'm trying to figure out why there's so much text after every time you attack. That doesn't make any sense.
It's saying a damage output. Hold on, my Japanese rusty.
Is it? I'll wait.
All right. There's a number there. That's clearly the damage you've done.
Okay.
And then I'm assuming it's saying monster has hit blah 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 for 22 damage using blah blah blah.
Okay. So anyway,
that's a guess.
It looks like crap. That whole scene looks terrible. But anyway,
that looks great. That's great pixel art.
So he's flying around, and it's like, okay, right now it's the 13th hour, 45 minute. It's literally 1 second later, and it's 15 hours later. Like, there's no such thing as time in this game. Like, it's an illusion. Like, it doesn't even matter.
It's simulating you playing over days. The story takes place over days and months.
But you haven't even gone that far, though. Like, I need some sort of scale. Because it looks like you've walked down the street, and it's, you know, next week.
You're walking across the continent.
Well, according to this, you're flying, Jason.
Well, I don't have that video, so I'm watching a walking one.
Well, this guy's flying.
Well, my guy's walking.
Or girl. I don't know what the hell it is.
My guy has a helmet.
Who would want a skeleton in their party?
Who would? It's like, you know what I don't understand? My walking guy, he's like a regular guy with a helmet. And then I look at my party, and they're all monsters, but he's not there.
Doesn't make any sense, man.
It doesn't, but it's very
Japanese.
I mean,
the cutscenes are kind of cool looking. Like, those are really detailed.
Yeah.
It's like they took time with the static cutscenes, but when it comes to the actual land that you're walking around in and the turn-based fighting, it's like they got tired and they got bored. Mm-hmm. Like, the FM Towns Marty couldn't handle, like, moving sprites. But if it's a one-set picture, they could go to town on it. An FM Town,
it also,
Marty.
Yeah, it came out for the Nintendo Family Computer as well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And?
That one didn't have a Monster Encyclopedia, though. So it's kind of lame.
Yeah, that's what you need, some Monster Encyclopedia.
Yeah, there's tons of monsters to fight.
There's a nude girl in this game.
Listen, you're just angry because it's better than your Pokemon Snap ripoff.
So how do you go into the future and rip off a game and then go back to the past? Is that how that works? Okay.
Yeah.
At least my game's innovative.
It's
not a board game, and it's not
it is not a board game, but...
It's not innovative.
I think that's just out of the running right now.
I would just like to point out that in that exchange you both had, which was really amusing, thank you for doing that, Jason admitted that his game doesn't make any sense.
Oh, it doesn't make a shred of sense, but it's Japanese and it's amazing.
No, my game's crazy Japanese.
No, mine is monsters. The English name, but the entire game's in Japanese. You can't explain that.
My game's all about making fun of westernized culture. What's more Japanese than that?
Japanese chess? Shogi? I'd say that's more Japanese.
It was actually chess.
Everyone makes fun of American culture, but shogi is pure Japanese. No one else can claim shogi.
No one wants to. It's Morita Shogi.
Is there a tutorial? So, like, somebody like me who's never played this Japanese chess could learn how to play, like, through a tutorial? Or is it just kind of like, if you don't know how to play
play? There's a training mode, and you can play with a very easy computer.
You know what I understand?
Lots of things?
Yeah, a lot of things. But you said it has a network adapter? But under modes, only single player is listed.
That's probably one of those you have to be hooked up to it first before it recognizes it. I've played the games like that. Like, there's a multiplayer, but you can't. The multiplayer option won't be there unless if there's another controller plugged in.
That's true. And you know what an even better question is? Do your guys' games have voice effects?
Why?
Mine does. Booyah.
What, you've moved guy to somewhere?
Yeah, and there's voices. It's like, when you check someone.
Yeah, that would be monotonous.
Well, not like every time, but like when you put someone in check, it says it. And on the title screen, there's a voice.
I think this is one of the worst showdowns we've ever had.
Yeah, this is... This is This is pretty.
It's just bad.
By what measure?
Well, it's, you know.
I'll come out and say it. All our games are pretty.
My game is not bad.
No, your game is awful.
No, it's not.
This is like a fight at the bottom of the barrel.
Okay, look. I will give you this. If you don't like board games, my game sucks.
You know what? I love board games.
Then why your game still sucks? My game? That doesn't make any sense.
Because I can just get the board game for $12. And I don't need an internet connection to make it run.
You don't need an internet connection for my game either.
If you want to experience the game in full 100%, yeah, you need an internet connection.
Okay, what
and a dial-up internet connection at that.
Ugh. That's not even like a... That's a proprietary Ethernet port.
I think we can agree on two things. Thing number one to agree upon. None of us would claim to have expertise in the Japanese market for retro games. Would that be fair?
Yes.
I mean, I have a tiny shred of knowledge. Less than I would like, but I flounder in the waters.
To me, it's one of those things that it's like, I can't play it. Right. And if I can play it, I can't read it. It's like, I'm not even going to mess with it. Like,
yeah, I'm not done playing every American game in existence yet. Why would I move on to Japanese yet?
Yeah, I mean, check out your blog.
Exactly.
See, I kind of want an FM Town, so.
No, you don't.
No, I do, because it was a Japanese PC variant.
Ugh. Just like buy an Apple Bandai
and they're like, we're going to do this weirdly.
And very, very weirdly.
Thing number two I think we can agree on. I think you both will appreciate this. If this truly is the worst retro showdown we've ever had, we can all agree it was Andrew's idea.
Oh! Damn it, Andrew. Totally forgot it was, yeah.
Andrew did decide Japanese only.
He's going to be so giddy when he hears this. And then he'll get to this part in the show and be like, those sons of bitches. Sons of
bitches. I'm going to tell him when I see him on Saturday. Like, you suck, Andrew. I came all the way to Toronto to see you, and you suck.
And now I'm leaving.
Yep. I'll just go home.
I mean, it wasn't that... It was interesting. I enjoyed learning about your guys' games. And Hunter, I've heard about your game before. I've read about it. It is a truly unique game. Jason, your game looks like it sucks, but whatever, you know. It's a game.
Hey, chess.
It's one
board.
Of those things.
And my game, I just picked, I will admit, it just has an interesting history, like why they made it, the fact that it's been around on other console versions. And it's fun.
Yep.
Yeah. The hardest part I found was picking the game. I knew I wanted an FM Towns one, so I literally started going through the games, going like, was this the release in only Japan?
I think the mistake I made was, I know there are some awesome Famicom games, like there's some great games that were only released in Japan for the Famicom, but I wanted to stick with, you know, pick an obscure game and have fun trying to defend it. Maybe that wasn't the right way to go this week.
Yeah, I was just thinking that too. Like, I probably should have picked Golden Axe 3.
Yeah, because I mean...
Because that was only released on the Mega Drive in Japan, so...
Because normally it's a challenge to defend an obscure game, but when you make it Golden Japanese...
Golden Axe 3 came in North America.
Will you let him talk, Jason? Good grief. You don't run this show. You aren't the only one here. Son of a bitch.
And
Bailey, please continue.
On that note. No, you know what? Never mind. Screw it. I give up.
Ha.
Final arguments. Hunter, why should anyone vote for your game in which you take pictures of naked people?
Because you take pictures of naked people and get paid for it.
And Jason, why should anyone pick your game in which you can't use your team half the time?
Jab!
Or,
jab!
In other words, can't use half your team all the time. Okay, excellent argument.
That's my closing argument.
Very convincing. And as for myself, why should you pick Marita Shogi 64?
You shouldn't.
Because...
At all.
You shut your dirty mouth. Because it's a sequel to a super unpopular game, which is a really weird decision to release. And secondly, because it had a modem slot on top of the cartridge, which is really weird. And number three, there you have it. That's the showdown. And actually,
thanks, Andrew.
Worst podcast ever.
Thanks a lot, Andrew. TJ Lauerman, that sports gamer on Twitter, suggested we do zapper games next week. So light gun games. What do you guys think of that?
Well, are we doing zapper games or are we doing light gun games? Because there's two different things.
They are.
Light gun games.
I would like to do light gun just because if we stick to zapper on the NES, there's a very strong chance two of us are going to pick the same game.
Yeah.
There was only a dozen or so zapper games. Maybe like 18 to 20 with some of it. But
we can't leave out the Justifier.
Exactly. Exactly, yes. It's just what I was thinking, Hunter.
The Justifier.
So you have it. Next week will be light gun games. Looking forward to it. I have a couple fun ideas. I want to give a quick shout out to Ben Landis. Thanks for letting us use your intro and outro checks. And shout out to Retroid, because we're part of their podcast network now. So I'm already having fun posting our episodes on the discussion forums there and participating in other forums outside of our own, of course. So feel free to join Retroids.com if you feel like taking part in some old-school discussion forum conversations, because that's fun. How about you guys?
You can find me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My blog is ericmhunter.net, and my new indie game reviewing blog is iamericm.com. Check it out.
And Jason.
Yeah, you can find me online on Twitter at Jason Lamb. And I'm just excited that light gun games means I can bring more Action Max games.
Wow. While we're doing Twitter, actually, I'm going to go ahead and shout out Sly Dog Studios. He is a longtime listener, always fun to talk to on Twitter. And he's the one who noticed that episode 8 was categorized as news on the website and was not showing up in the podcast section. So, you let me know, and
thank you.
I fixed it, and there it is. So thanks to at Slydog Studios on Twitter.
What's he doing? We're listening to old episodes.
He's catching up. He didn't start listening to us right away, but he's been listening to the last few, and he liked it so much, he's going back and listening to all of them. So he's one of those like best kinds of fans ever.
Good luck with that.
So hopefully we're not letting him down with our Japan-only theme. I think people will dig it. Yeah. Retro gamers like Japanese games.
Clearly, they're the ones who always win the showdown.
That's true. Both times they've appeared. That's true. Yeah. Good point. But you know what the best point of all is? You are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week, listeners.